I know week before last, Pastor Doc preached, and it was such a wonderful word. And he's going to be coming tonight and teaching once again, preaching. And so I know that you will hear him gladly, and you'll be blessed along with me as he opens God's word and feeds us really good tonight. So would you join me in welcoming our granddaddy pastor to the platform? Come on up.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Well, thank you. We love our pastor, don't we? Amen. June and I often be driving down the road, and one of us will turn to the other and say, aren't you glad God put us at Grace House under Pastor Eddie and Mickey and the elders? It's just, let's don't take it for granted. Wow. Thank you, brother, for being our pastor. Thank you all for being here tonight. It's been a good day, and Jesus is on the throne. The devil is defeated. And I read the last chapter, and we're going to win this thing eventually. Just keep on playing. So I want to share with you, and I'm looking at the clock here and understanding time. I probably won't get finished, but I'll quit somewhere. I won't keep you past when we need to leave. But I want to talk to you about something that's really burning in my heart, has been for a long time. And I just simply probably won't say anything tonight that you don't already know. But I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight about the glorious gospel. I remember, and certainly not true, that what I'm about to say has nothing to do with Grace House. I remember some years ago, a very prominent church in our region, I shall not mention the church, obviously, a very prominent church in our region, a man who had gotten saved, gotten born again, he was a leader in that church. He said to me personally, he said, Doc, I've been in this church and a member all my life. When we got this new pastor and I heard him preach, I knew I'd never heard the gospel. Isn't that sad? To be part of a congregation per se. And this is, you know, what I'm going to talk about tonight is not a white gospel. Not a black gospel, brown gospel, red gospel. It's the gospel. And the gospel fits in any culture, in any color. So if the gospel we preach in America don't fit in the bush of Africa, it's not the gospel. Maybe an Americanized version, but it's not the gospel. So I am convinced in my heart that God is working, and again, has nothing to do with Grace House, please understand me, but God is working at the church overall in America to bring the pulpits back to proclaiming and thundering a glorious gospel. So, I'll go as fast as I can and just hang on because I really want to share my heart with you. I think it's interesting that in the first chapter of Luke's gospel and verse 33, Gabriel shows up and makes an announcement concerning this Christ child that's coming. And he states, and I quote, of his kingdom there shall be no end. And I think it's interesting that the one that he spoke of, Jesus, when he came preaching at the age of about 30, the scripture says in Mark 1, verse 14, 15, he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It at hand. Now, he was the embodiment of all of this. We understand that. But where was the kingdom? Was in the gospel, because the kingdom has a voice. And the voice of the kingdom is the gospel. It has full authority in heaven and earth and under the earth. And so Jesus came preaching the gospel. What I love about it is the connection between the kingdom and the gospel. They're inseparable. It's like water and wet. You could never go in a restaurant cell, have a glass of water, but hold the wet. I mean, you can't get it. Or you can't get the wet without the water. You can't get the kingdom without the gospel and the gospel of the kingdom. Even Jesus said in Matthew 24, when everyone has heard the gospel of the kingdom, then the end will come. Not, the end's not coming because hell's breaking loose. The end will come when everyone on planet earth has heard the gospel of the kingdom. Wow. And what opportunities that we have. Now I want to start here and just again lay my heart out. In Romans chapter 1, as you probably already have kind of picked up on, two verses that kind of capsule some of what I want to talk about tonight. Then I want to break it up in pieces, and then I'll start the points. They told me in seminary, Doc, have at least one. So I got more than one. So in the 16th verse of the first chapter of Romans, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is. Now listen to the word of this. This is the New King James. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is, not was, not going to be, it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greeks. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let me break that down so we kind of get our head around it. First of all, Paul said, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. Point one, the gospel is the power. The word there, as you would know, is the word dunamis or dunamis, depending on the ending. And the word there means inherent power. In other words, this light burning up here doesn't have inherent power. It's getting it somewhere else. We don't have inherent kingdom power. It comes from somewhere else. But with God, He is that power. He is the inherent power. The inherent power of who God is. Paul said, he said, God is this in the gospel according to the salvation. And we so often take the word salvation to think that's just talking about getting saved. The word salvation is everything Jesus died to give us. Draw a big circle around it and write salvation in it. When you get saved, you sozo in that salvation. But soteria is the all comprehension of what he did at the cross. Second point, Paul said, this gospel, that is the power of God, is for everyone who believes. And you know, the gospel was before you got in on it. How did you get on it? Get in on it. You got in on it when you believe. Actually, the word there, you got in by believing and continuing to believe. Because, listen, if we continue to believe, the gospel will continue to release itself out of us and through us. Wow. Third thing I want to say, Paul said, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Not Methodist, not Baptist, not Pentecostal, not Presbyterian, you fill in the blank. Those are nicknames. The heart of the matter is the revelation of God's righteousness is in the gospel. And then the fourth thing, he said, the gospel is revealed and received only one way, by faith. We receive it by faith, and it's, now listen, it's continual revelation. How many of you know when you got saved, we got a little revelation, but we hadn't arrived yet. We are continually getting more revelation. And how does it come? Well, I got in by faith, and I walk by faith. It's from faith unto faith. That's how the revelation comes and continues on. That's all in the gospel. My last point is, those who've been made just. And you know, the word just or justified simply means just as if you had never sinned. Isn't that hard to believe? Because all of us know something and remember something of what we were, but he came to justify us through the gospel. For those who've been made just by believing the gospel, we shall live by faith in the gospel. What did the gospel say to us? I mean, I don't care what the Democrats and the Republicans are saying. I mean, I can hear it. Most of it I don't want to hear. I'd like to hear the truth every once in a while. I don't hear much of it when I turn the news on. But the gospel is the good news of God. Tune in with God. He's always got a good word. So, let's get going. Let me tell you what I see in Scripture as what the gospel really is. Point one, Pastor alluded to it earlier. It's Jesus on the cross, point one. He's on the cross as Lord and as Savior. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, Paul said, Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel. Let's talk about it. In John chapter 1, the first five verses, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How many of you know, in the beginning, when everything was brought into being, the Trinity was there. The Spirit of God brooded. The Father God spoke the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word had life, and the life was the light of men. And that light could not be overcome. Listen to me. There is no darkness in hell to overcome the light of the gospel. Amen. Darkness has no power and no authority. Light overcomes darkness. You don't even have to pray about it. Turn on the light in the natural. So the light of the gospel drives back. You know, I actually wrote this down, and I thought, okay, Lord, here's what I heard in my spirit. Know the gospel, believe the gospel, receive the gospel, and live by the gospel. That's a pretty good menu for life. And anytime you have a question, see what the gospel says about it. So it starts out in verse 14 of that chapter in John, when the Word that was in the beginning took on flesh. You know all of this. It took on flesh when, as I've already stated, when the angel came and spoke to a little virgin. Why a virgin? Luke 1. Why a virgin? Because since Adam fell, every human being has been born with a fallen nature that they got from fallen Adam. And so for God to take on flesh, he must bypass man, or else he's going to be born with a fallen nature needing a Savior. Now, women have a fallen nature, but they don't pass it on. We men do. Because Adam was the responsible agent in the garden, even though Eve was the first one that messed up. She was deceived. Old Adam just flat disobeyed God. So in Adam, all die. In Adam, all die. So what had to happen is God had to bypass man and impregnate a little virgin with an impregnation of a human being so that Jesus could be born in Bethlehem, fully human without the fallen nature. And as Scripture tells us, tempted in all points as we are. You don't have a temptation. You don't have a struggle. Listen to me. You don't have an issue. I don't have an issue. If I look around, there's some tracks. The tracks of the Son of God who came in and walked through what I'm going through and walked out in victory. In all points, even as we are. So, he's born in Bethlehem. You know the story. And you know the Bible said, Let a thing be established by two or three witnesses. Well, let me give you this. What I call it the affirmation of who he was. John the Baptist and John 1, 29, 30, John saw him, and this is what John said, "Behold the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world." Jesus himself said in John 14, when Philip said, "Show us the Father," Jesus said, "Philip, have we been so long together and you don't know about the Father? The Father and I are one." That was his own affirmation of himself. We know in Matthew 17 what the Father said at his baptism. "This is my beloved Son." How would you like to hear Father whisper in your ear tonight? "You are my beloved Son." That's the gospel. Jesus said in John 5:36, he said, "I have a greater witness. The witness that I have is greater than all is the works that I do. If you don't believe what I say, believe what I do." That was his witness. And then 3 years later, he goes to a place. This is what the gospel's all about. He goes to a place called Calvary and dies. Now I want to talk about this for a minute. He dies, first of all, for us. I mean, he was the propitiation. He was the substitute. He took your place and mine. He took your place. I mean, you know what? To me, worship is not anything but a response to an understanding of who he is and what he has done. Nobody has a problem with worship like that. So he died for us. Now let me give you the scripture. Romans 8:5, Paul said, "While we were yet," what's the next word? "Sinners, Christ died for us." And then I love that, because we know the one, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." In Mark 10:45, Jesus said of himself, "I came to give my life a ransom for you." For whatever it's worth, God's never owed the devil anything. The ransom Jesus paid wasn't to the devil. He paid it to his Father, who demanded righteousness and holiness that fallen man could not pay. The devil held him ransom. He paid our debt. The Son of God paid our debt to the Father. We'd owed a debt we couldn't pay, and he paid a debt he didn't owe. You've heard that. He died for us. Aren't you glad he did? Let's don't ever get over this. Don't get so sophisticated. And I know I'm talking to the choir. Let's don't ever get over. I love what John Osteen used to say. "Just occasionally I go out in the backyard, even in the winter, take me a quilt and sit down under an old tree and just thank him for saving me." Don't get far from that. Don't ever get far from he died for you. See, that's the gospel. But he died not only for you, he died as you. It's a twofold, it's a coin with a head and a tail, if you will. Because Romans 6:6 says, "Our old man was crucified with him." Then 2 Timothy 2:11, this is what it says, "If we died with him, we shall also live with him." We died. Now listen, how many of you know the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, that there's the first Adam and then there's the second Adam. The second Adam was Jesus, who came, as we've just been talking about, and he came and entered into life's stream with us, fully human, fully God, yet operating as the Son of Man, so that our identity now is not with fallen Adam, our identity is with the second Adam. So when that second Adam went to the cross and died, If you receive him, you died with him. I mean, what can I say about the scripture that Galatians 2:20? I have been crucified with Christ. You know the thing, and this sounds awful in a carnal sense. You know what God's got to do? Get rid of you and me. We're a mess. He wants to get rid of you and me so he can give you and me himself, who's everything. No wonder he said, if you're coming after me, you got to take up your cross and follow. Your cross isn't your wife or husband. Sorry about that. It isn't the job you got. Your cross is I exchange my old Adam for this new Adam, for in Christ I become a new creation. That's the good news. You can't fix it. I tried to quit cussing one time, and 2 weeks later, I was still cussing. You can't. You gotta die to what you were in order to live for who you are. So, to me, that's the cross. So what does that mean to me? That means, for all of us here tonight, the good news, the gospel is this. Jesus died for me. He died as me. He wants to live in me, live his life through me. The best news I ever had, I'm not going to hell anymore. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. That's good news. I mean, that's Christ in him crucified. Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you except Christ in him crucified. That's a good start. Have you been to Calvary for his cleansing blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Don't try to fix it, you can't, but take it to him, he can fix it. Second point, after he died, they buried him. Because, I read it to you, 1 Corinthians 15. He died and he was buried. Why in the world did they bury him? Well, now listen carefully. Now my identity is with the second Adam, and now he died for me and as me, and now they're going to put Jesus and us in behind a stone in a tomb. Aren't you glad grace hid your life from your friends? Hammy would be really embarrassed if God started telling everybody what you used to be. I remember a dear friend was around a prophet. And I won't call any names. Was around a prophet. And he told me this. He said, I was around him, and he operates like Pastor Eddie in a real prophetic Holy Ghost anointing. And he said, I prayed, Lord, don't tell him anything about me. So why did they bury Jesus? What do you do with dead people? You bury them, don't you? You put them away. Now, I found in the Bible? I found that when he died, I died with him. And if I died with him, then I'm behind there with my old life, my old sins, my fill in the blank. But listen to me. Jesus went in dead but came out with a glorious, resurrected body. So did you. He came. I love that song we sing, Andrew. If he walked out, I'm walking out too. Excuse me, but that excites the fire out of me. Just to think I was back there. My God, I was back there behind a stone 3 days. He walked out and I walked out with him. That's the gospel. What you do with the dead, you know, you can't dig up Jesus. He's not there. And God don't dig up your old life either, because he put it as far as the east is from the west and said, I don't remember it anymore. Praise God. To me, the resurrection, the burial and then the resurrection, my goodness, I love it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he rose again. Do you ever think about again? First time in my life, today, yesterday, I think it was, I thought about again, Pastor. He rose again. You can't come into this building again till you've been in here once. What does it mean, he rose again? When he went into that tomb, he was the second Adam fully fleshed. He came out of that tomb, the second Adam, with a glorified body that had the glory on it as it did when the Word became flesh. Praise God. He stepped back into from whence he came as far as position was concerned. Aren't you glad the tomb is empty? Because if he hadn't come out, all he died for, we don't get. He now, after resurrection, because of the good news, makes available everything the cross was about. And, my goodness, the resurrection confirmed that he was the Son of God, the Bible says. He raised us up together. And I've got to go on. I could stay here a long time. This is a book. I don't write books. Pastor Ed is the writer here, so. But you know, aren't you glad? I love the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 when he says, you know, this guy's an apostle. And he cries out and says, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. If that same spirit that raised him from the dead will quicken our mortal body. The resurrection, without it. If I'm going with him to the cross, I have to go with him behind the tomb. Then I have to come out with him. That's the gospel. But then he goes back in his ascension. In Hebrews 1:3, I mean, let me read it to you. You don't have to turn there. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I can see, I love it. I love it. You know, no priest had ever sat down. You look in the temple, they don't have seats for him to sit down. Why? Because he got to come do it again. But his death, his burial, his resurrection, now his ascension, and he goes back at the right hand of the Father and sits down. It's over, boys. Nothing else needs to be done. I've done it all. That's the gospel. I thought this very interesting. In Zechariah 3, the first two verses in Zechariah 3, you find Joshua the high priest, and it says, and Satan was at the right hand opposing. Isn't that interesting? Satan got kicked out when he messed up. We know that he got kicked out. But something else is going on, because you remember that in Luke 10, I think it is, in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sends out the 70, and they come back and go, whoa, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Jesus said, and these are a Lauderdale translation, Jesus said, the reason I saw Satan falling from heaven, it's because I gave you authority. But listen to me, he only gave that to the 70. But when he ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father, it's over now. I want to say this. Listen to me. All the powers of hell have been defeated by the ascended Lord. There is nothing hell can come up with that will overcome an ascended Lord. From that position, that exalted position, he mediates a covenant. And from that position, instead of the accuser being there, now the intercessor is there. At the Father's right hand, you think he's praying? This is just me. No, I don't think he's praying. I think he's presenting the gospel. I think he's presenting everything he did for us to the Father in behalf of us. No, if you say, well, I believe he's praying. Well, that's fine. It doesn't matter. The principles are the same. Instead of the accuser, now the intercessor is here at the right hand of the Father. Did you know right tonight? Did you know every one of us here? Every one of us. The gospel said Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. The devil has been defeated. The tomb is empty. There's no one on the cross. Come on now. And he lives in you. Therefore, at Father's right hand, he's decreeing and declaring your name as his son and daughter. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Let me deal with the last one. I can do it quickly, I think. Not finished on that one, but we'll go on. The last one. The last one is his exalted name. So you have the cross, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension. Now you have God gave him a name. Remember that in Philippians 2? God gave him a name above every name. That at that name, listen to me, it says in Philippians 2, at that name, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Heaven, earth, hell. Every knee will bow. Saddam Hussein, if he hasn't already, will bow his knee and proclaim Jesus is Lord. Hitler will bow his knee. So will you and I. I think Jim Beaver said it. Go ahead and acknowledge his lordship and avoid the rush. For all men and women will come and say he is Lord. He has a name. He has a name. If you don't believe it, I don't recommend this, but it's my point. You don't believe it, you can go to any beer joint, anything like it in this city, and you can sit down and talk about God and drink beer, and nobody is really bothered. But you bring up the name of Jesus, and heaven begins to invade that conversation because he has a name above every other name. That at that name, every knee would bow. See, that's the gospel. Jesus isn't a way. He's the way. He's the truth and the life. That's the good news. Listen, and I don't mean to be ugly, but I do mean to be straightforward. Muhammad don't get it. Allah don't get it. Jesus is Lord, and he is the only way according to the gospel. So with that name, and wow. So I got to thinking about Lord Jesus. I mean, I got some. I called up Larry. I called up Larry Buller last night, and it was kind of late, I guess. And I got to talk to him about this. I said, well, I guess it's your bedtime. He said, I'm so fired up now, I don't want to go to bed. I'm telling you, the good news will put a fire inside of you. Dear God, do you understand what I'm saying? A fire inside of you. You go, what do you do with it? I'm going to tell you, when there's a fire burning, you move with it. I mean, how many of you know that fire is a big motivator? Yeah. Burn your finger. And when you burn it real good, you don't look at it and go, well, I burned my finger. I'll tell you what I do with it. I'm hunting the coolest place in town, and so are you. So fire is a motivator. It's a purifier, but it's a motivator. And the gospel, his exalted name. He said, when you get together, two or three of you get together in my name, I'll be there with you. Well, I don't see anything. You don't see anything. Do you believe it? Lay hands on the sick in my name. They will. Lay hands on demonized people. They will be delivered. Now watch this. I wrote it down. I want to say it right. If we have a relationship with Christ, if we are exercising faith in Christ, if our actions are directed by the Spirit, we will function on earth as the power of attorney over his name. that when faith speaks it, it will be as if he himself has said it. You know, you know what a power of attorney is, but just illustration's sake, Vic and Donna have power of attorney over June and me. Do you know what they could do? They could sell our house and put us out on the street. I mean, that's the power of attorney, is it not? I mean, they could go to the bank and get every penny you got in it. Not much. I mean, you know, we don't have much, but what we got, they could get. The power of attorney has a legal right to act on planet Earth in behalf of another. That's his name. One more little thing. And have you ever noticed, and I saw it the other day, have you ever noticed at an accident or traffic lights gone out and whatever, and there's a guy under, there's this big intersection, there's a guy with a badge and a suit and a gun, and his lights are flashing over here in his car, and he's directing traffic. Do you ever notice that he holds up his hand like this? And that 18-wheeler, you hear the shh. How you know that 18-wheeler could squash him and never miss a lick? Is he operating in power? He's operating in authority. Do we need more power, or do we need to exercise more of the authority of the name of Jesus? Because that's the gospel. The power of attorney he gave his bride to act in his behalf on planet Earth. My inheritance, and I found this in it, my inheritance now is in 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in this world. Christ in you. It's the hope of glory. See, if we aren't careful, and you don't do it, if we aren't careful, we reduce the gospel to what we've quit. You ever notice that? I don't cuss no more, and I don't smoke no more, and I don't drink no more, and I don't chase women no more. That's wonderful. I highly recommend it. But you could quit everything you know to be wrong and be no more saved than you were before while you were doing them. Quitting something, you know, and I've used this illustration before. Do you ever notice in the fall when things start turning beautiful? And leaves start falling. At our house, we got trees everywhere, and I'll tell you, it's a deal. And some of those oak trees, they just hang on. You know what I mean? That leaf, I can just see that leaf, if it had a voice, going, I'm not leaving. I've been here for a year. So I could take me a stick and go out there and beat them leaves off. Or I could wait for the sap to rise. When the sap in that oak tree begins to rise, it'll just push off the dead leaves. Dudley Hall said in our church in Fort Worth a few years ago, he said we had an old boy got saved. And when he got saved, some of the brothers, you know, they got smoked. And I'm not here condemning people who smoke. I mean, you know, that's between you and the Lord. But he said, the brothers got with him and said, now that you say, you got to quit smoking. He said, let me tell you something, Doc. That guy was winning people to Jesus. That guy was bringing people to church. And those brothers met with him and told him he had to quit. Now, you know what those brothers did? They took that stick and they was trying to beat that leaf off that tree. I said, what in the world did y'all do? He said, well, I'll tell you what. He quit winning people to Jesus, and he wasn't faithful to church. I said, really? I said, what did y'all do? He said, well, we called him into an elders meeting. I said, what did you do at the elders meeting? He said, we told him to go back to smoking. And said, you know, Doc, he did. And then he went back to smoking, started winning people to Jesus, bringing people to church, and in 2 weeks, the sap pushed off the leaf, and he kept his joy. I love what my brother says. You can't clean a fish till you catch it. God has a way of doing it. I'm not saying we stand in affirmation of wrong living, I'm just saying the good news is he who lives in you is bigger than he who lives out there. How many are glad for the gospel? I mean, you know, aren't you just glad for the gospel? Praise God. Not that we don't hear here all the time. My goodness, what can I say? We do, obviously. But I am convinced that God is bringing a resurgent in the body across this nation. Let the pulpits ring again in the glorious gospel of what Jesus has done, who he is, what he will do in the book. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this wonderful group of people. And Lord, I thank you for Pastor Eddie and Mickey and our elders. And thank you for this house. Thank you, Lord, that you raised up Grace House for such a time as this. We bless you for the good news that you came to bring us good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, God bless you, brother.
Amen. Let's bless Pastor Doc for that. Wow, what a wonderful word. Thank you for digging in the word, and thank you for the way you shared it with us. And let's treasure that. It's true. And I would just say to everyone here, if any of you need prayer tonight, or it could be, perhaps, even here on a Wednesday evening, there could be someone that never fully trusted Jesus. You may have thought about it many times, but you've never placed your faith in him to save you from your sins. We invite you to do that tonight. Just come up. I'd be happy to talk with you about that and pray with you. It's amazing how someone's life can be so radically changed in a singular moment of faith. And then you spend the rest of your life trying to explore the depths of what happened in that moment. I highly recommend that as well. Would you stand with me? We do thank you for being here tonight. May God's blessings be upon you. And Father, thank you so much for this opportunity we've had here this evening. Lord, I thank you so much for Pastor Doc and his labor in the Word and the anointing and depth with which he shares it. I pray, Lord, it would find that resting place deep in our hearts. Thank you for the gospel. Maybe we should all just say that out loud to him right now. Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the gospel. And Father, remind us day by day as we interact with others, may the question be in our hearts, does this person, have they responded to the gospel? Have they heard the gospel? Lord, help us to be gospel-bearing people. We are called to that. May the nations be filled with the good news of your gospel. And so, Lord, may the rest of this week, may your blessing be upon each one here. Use us, bring us back together. May our light shine for you. Now, I pray in Jesus' name that you be filled with his Holy Spirit. You stand on the promises of his word. Know that you are surrounded by his holy angels and operate in the love that he shed abroad in your hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.